Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
It's time for Rapid Fire Friday on the Overreaction Sports Network with your host, Joe Miller. Welcome, everybody, into Rapid Fire Friday on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. I'm the voice of the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wire. Do me a favor. Whatever platform you are listening on, please like and subscribe to this podcast. I have three weekly shows for you: Mafia Monday, Wake Up Wednesday, and Rapid Fire Friday. And believe me, you do not want to miss a single episode. It is so good, super good to have you. Whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, at the gym with your AirPods in, or on the drive to work, let me just say one more time, welcome. Super, super delighted that you are here. Today, my guest is the long snapper for the Buffalo Bills, the longest tenured player on the team. In Madden 23, he is a tight end with an overall rating of 37, fellow girl dad, one of the best smiles in football, number 69 on the field, number one in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Reed Ferguson. How you doing, Reed?
Joe, thank you for having me on. I'm doing fantastic. 24-hour rule is in full effect. So eyes toward a, I'm going to say, I don't know if I'm in the minority saying this, but I have eyes toward a hopefully snowy Sunday afternoon.
You're looking, that's actually one of my questions. Have you seen the weather report?
I have become a de facto weatherman living in Buffalo, I think, nice, for the past 7 years, because I have to pay attention to it so much.
Right.
Every week during the season, whether we're practicing and playing an away game, we're practicing and playing a home game, I'm looking at the weather for the week always. So I've learned a ton about weather trends, snow bands, the whole nine yards. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
definitely
a side effect of living here, of playing for the Bills. I never thought that I would know this much about weather north of the Mason-Dixon line.
How the Boston Hills affect the weather pattern and what that does and how it makes the snow band stop. That's over right. Hamburg and Orchard Park. I live in Hamburg. You live in Orchard Park. Yes. And just sits there.
Unbelievable.
That's really funny. That actually was one of my, I've got a parlay to that question. Sure. So we'll get to that. But the Salute to Service Award, you have been nominated. The Salute to Service Award recognizes NFL players, coaches, and staff, and alumni with demonstrable commitment to honoring and supporting military and veteran communities, as nominated, as I said, by NFL clubs. You just hosted an awesome event at First Line Brewing that I went to. It was slammed. Like, it was crazy packed. What does it mean to you to be recognized? This is not one of the questions, by the way. To be recognized by the Buffalo Bills, or nominated, I should say. And what would it mean to win this?
First off, it's an incredible honor to be nominated. Coach McDermott, I think, was the nominee last year. I don't really remember prior to that. There's a few awards that happen every year that teams can nominate a guy for. Really the biggest one is the Man of the Year Award, Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And the winner gets a large chunk of money to I believe donate to a charity of their choosing. I think it's up maybe $100,000. But the winner of the salute service gets $25K to a charity of their choosing, to or one that they work with. It would be, you know, it's an incredible honor to represent the team in this fashion. I've worked with Veterans One Stop, you know, for probably 5 years now. I did my cleats a couple times for them for the My Cause My Cleats. Coming up here in a few weeks, I'll be doing it again, working with them. And done a few things over the years with them as well, but figured it was time to throw together like an official event, and what better weekend to do it on than Veterans Day weekend. So, you know, happy that we got the opportunity to do it on Veterans Day weekend with the home game, and pretty cool to, you know, like you said, it was slammed when you got there, and I got there at 12 o'clock right when it started, and the guys at First Line said that it was it had been full since they opened the doors at 11:30. So just amazing. Yeah. Great time. Met so many great people that have served our country in different lengths. So awesome. The barbecue was fantastic. Shout out to Dan. Yep. He did a great job.
Buffalo Freddy.
Buffalo Freddy. Freddy. Yep. I mean, it's you know, to if I do win, it would be incredible. I would be throwing most, if not all, of that donation money to Veterans One Stop to help them out.
It's awesome.
But yeah, it would be pretty awesome. So I keep it's funny. Blake and I got a text from our agent last week, I think maybe a couple of days after it got announced that we were the nominees for our teams. And or for anybody that doesn't know, Blake, my younger brother, plays for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
He actually has been nominated 2 years in a row now.
Oh, wow.
And he also does a similar event, a lunch event down there. It was a little warmer at his event this past weekend. But he texted us and he said, you know, congratulations, you guys. You know, great job. I'm texting my family every day. Girls vote for Reed. Boys vote for Blake. So we have gotten a lot of that across the family members the last week and a half or so since we've found out we got nominated. A lot of split, you know. Yeah. On Mondays I vote for Reed, on Tuesdays Blake, and flip flop, and that's just how it goes. So
how does the mafia vote for you?
They can find if anybody's on Twitter, I actually pinned the tweet to the top of my profile page. The link is there on that tweet. I think it's and bear with me for a second. I think it's like nfl.com/salute is the official.
I've already voted. I'm just asking you just so you can tell everybody.
Yeah, I think it's nfl.com/salute.
Gotcha. Yes. I think there's, if you just Google salute to service vote, they can pretty much find that. That's how I found it. So,
yeah.
So we are here to have a conversation, or I should say it's Rapid Fire Friday. We're here to pummel you, if you will, with questions, 10 unscripted questions. And the rules of this are that normally it's, what's the word? It is commonplace. It's usually customary. If you have a guest on a show, you provide them with the questions ahead of time. A lot of times so they can form an answer, but also to give them the opportunity to be like, yeah, I don't want to talk about that, or I'd rather talk about this. And that is not how this program works. I'm gonna fire 10 questions at you. Are you ready?
I am ready.
So since the whole, getting into the stadium, which you don't have a problem with, but for fans, they've changed the way, especially here, that we have to get into the stadium. It used to be you could walk up 10 minutes before the game started and pretty much just get right. Well, there was a time before metal detectors where you could walk right in, like you just showed your ticket.
Sure.
But it's gotten harder. And because it's gotten harder, it seems like every year they tell you to come a little bit earlier. So I've gotten in the habit of showing up 45 minutes to an hour early, and I'm in my seat, which is a little unnerving, but it gives me an opportunity, Reed. It gives me an opportunity to watch guys like you. So this is my question. How far, honestly, can you throw a football? And have you gone to coach yet and made a case to be the emergency quarterback?
I appreciate that, your question. My buddy Ryan, who helps out, he's an ops guy. He actually is the guy that runs out and gets the kickoff tee. That's kind of become a little bit of a meme in and of itself this year. But he helps us out on special teams. He helps the kickers, punters, and myself during the week and on game day. And he's a fast little dude, and he used to play some ball when he was growing up. So I just told him, you know, hey, I want to get the arm loosened up. We throw a little bit before I warm up, and then right before I go warm up with Sam, got to throw a touchdown pass to him. So
nice.
He just runs a little 30-yard nine route,
right,
and try to hit him in the end zone. So I haven't reached out to Coach. I'm hoping maybe I have heard stories of who is the punter in Carolina. Hecker, Johnny Hecker.
Oh yeah, Johnny Hecker. Yeah,
used to be a quarterback. I don't know, in college, maybe high school, and he actually throws like the pat and go warm up, or he used to in LA. He used to be like the fourth guy throwing out there. So that would be a dream come true.
That'd be a dream come true. It's funny because I normally sit around the 30-yard line, visitor side, first row of the upper deck. And this past weekend, I was in the House Capitol Suite, which is literally in the middle of the goalposts, non-tunnel side. So like in the opposite side of the stadium where under the big board.
Scoreboard, sure.
And I saw your dude. And it struck out to me. So Tyler Bass kicks off, and that dude was like lightning, like coming off the field.
Yeah, he's fast.
I was like, that dude is fast.
It's like eight. I think he gets timed. It's like 8 or 9 seconds.
Holy cow!
He can get back on. That's ridiculous.
I was worried. I was a little worried about him when he was re-entering the sideline because there was like players and coaches and people standing around.
We have a good time with it.
That's funny. Now, you grew up in Georgia. Did you grow up a football fan? And if you did you have a favorite player? Was there a guy in the backyard that you ran around with your dad and your brother and pretended to be?
Yeah, both my parents attended the University of Tennessee, so naturally. Peyton Manning was a big name in our household growing up. So, grew up in Atlanta, cheered for the Falcons. That was that was Michael Vick tenure. Mm-hmm. And then also cheered for the Colts. Peyton Manning, was a fan of him when they won the Super Bowl. So yeah, I would probably say Peyton is the final answer to that question.
It's all making sense. The arm, the throw.
Oh yeah.
It's all making. Somehow you ended up just throwing it between your legs instead of
throwing it upside down.
You just wanted to make it a little more challenging. You know, it's rare for brothers to make it together in the NFL. Sure, today we've got names like the Diggs brothers, obviously, you know, Dalvin and James, the Cook brothers, the McCourties. But my mind goes back to like the Jacksons, as far as like Patrick Jackson. And Fred Jackson, former running back for the Buffalo Bills, twins, right? So one of them made it to the NFL and one of them didn't. And they're like legit straight identical. I don't know if you've ever, and I'm sure you've met Fred.
Didn't know he had a twin.
Yeah, he's got
identical. Fred, I didn't know he had a twin.
Yeah, twin. It's rare, though, for two brothers to make it to the NFL. How long have you both been long snappers and how did this happen, right? Is that the easiest way to ask that question? Because, like, it's rare that you make it and you both made it as long snappers.
Yep. So I've been snapping since eighth grade. So I was in eighth grade. I guess I was 14 years old, probably 14, 15. And Blake started when he was in seventh grade. Because of when I started. So we were playing feeder ball in middle school, kind of playing under the high school's feeder system. And the kid that was center and long snapping got hurt. He was actually playing up. He was in seventh grade, a year younger than us, playing up on the eighth grade team because he was a bigger kid, pretty good athlete. He got hurt before the season started. And I had been playing football. I started when I was in fifth grade. So I'd been playing for a couple years, but not really playing. I was a tight end, defensive end, not the biggest guy, not the most athletic guy. Still not the most athletic guy. Nothing's really changed. My dad was just like, hey, you know, I almost quit after my seventh grade season, but my dad was like, hey, let's stick with it. My coach, hey, you know, stick with it. Just give it one more chance. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, unfortunately, teammate got hurt. Dad was like, hey, let's try this out. Give it a shot. Maybe you can find your way on the field.
Right.
I woke up. You know, bus came at 7:10. I was up at 6 o'clock snapping in the garage. learning how to do it, working on my form, working on my technique, snapping in the yard after school, working on my form, working on my technique, going to camps, watching videos, getting help from the senior snapper at the high school who had just committed to Toledo.
Oh, wow.
Just kind of trying to do my best to get work my way on the field for the, you know, just the eighth grade team. Mm-hmm. Ended up snapping for him that year. Went to high school and, you know, just kept doing it. And I guess the rest is history from that point. Blake started when he got to seventh grade, like I said. So, but he had played maybe for a year or two before that. Maybe he started when he was in fifth or sixth grade. I can't remember, but he was like a tight end receiver. He was a little taller than me at that age. And he was, you know, he was catching touchdowns. He was like, you know, I've never scored a touchdown. He scored a touchdown. So that's something he's got.
He was a tight end.
A little jealous. Yeah. A little jealous.
So he's Madden ranked like 41 versus.
No, he's lower than me.
He's lower than me. Nice.
And I'll never let him forget it. I'll get to that story in a minute, but that's the rest is kind of history after that. You know, we started throughout high school, Blake did as well. And then we obviously both made our way to LSU and then to the Bills and Dolphins respectively. But the Madden stuff, I'm not sure if you were going to ask a question about that later in the show.
I'm not.
So I think, like you mentioned, I was a 37 this year.
Yeah.
I think Blake was maybe like a 32 or some 30, like a 29 maybe.
Yeah.
I think he was high 20s. And I told, so out at the LA game, Chad Ochocinco was out there.
Oh, nice.
And for anybody that follows him on Twitter, he's a fantastic Twitter follow. He has worked his way into becoming a Madden ratings adjuster. So he had the t-shirt on, he had the whole get up on, he was out there with his crew, you know, two or three guys following him around on the sideline. Met him before the game. I said, "Hey, bro." I said, I'm the long snapper. So they got me as a tight end. I said, "What can you do?" He was like, "Let me work on it." Okay. So after that game, I get on Madden I think I get on Madden like maybe week two or week three, like shortly after. And I saw the Bills and I looked down the roster and I got bumped up one overall. And I said, "You have got to be kidding me." I said, "This dude bumped me up an overall point, and we didn't even punt that game." I couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is all it takes is asking a question. Some good field goal snaps. So anyway, I thought it was funny. But that's the story of how we got started.
That is fantastic. So we talked about the weather that you've already checked the weather report because they're calling for – it's going to be 29 and windy. Sure. And they're calling for anywhere from like – right now it says no snow on Sunday. But like,
people, I think most of it is going to come Thursday, Friday.
Right. They're saying 4 to 6 feet. And if it comes Thursday, Friday, we're fine. You know that. That's all the snow will be gone. The stadium won't have snow on it. There won't be snow on the streets. Like, we'll be good to go. But you were here then for the Colts snow game, right?
Yes, I was.
So I guess I'm just putting that part together. The question I had for you is, how do you prepare or how do you stay warm and ready in games like that, or games like even, you know, the Patriots playoff game last year, it was like -2. The real feel was -7. When you're a specialist, how in the world do you stay ready? And I guess to tag onto that, if you want to just share a little bit about the craziness of trying to like snap in, what was it, a foot and a half of snow on the field, foot of the snow on the field, right?
Yeah. In 17.
Yes.
I think it was a lot. I don't exactly remember, but I have some pretty cool pictures that my dad took from the sideline or from the stands. I would say in terms of staying ready and staying warm, the best answer is to stick by the heaters. No joke.
Yeah.
I stand by the heaters probably the majority of the game when it's sub freezing and the wind's blowing. I have to hang by the heaters because there's so much time in between what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we gain possession, I usually snap a couple punt snaps, just get myself ready, and then I'm waiting on whatever happens. Punt it, field goal, whatever comes.
Right.
But most of the time, you know, we are huddled around the heater because the kicker and punter have to keep their feet warm.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's got to keep his hands warm, obviously, to make sure he catches the ball cleanly. But I'm not as worried about my feet, more about my hands.
Right.
Because I need to make sure I have a good grip on the ball. But that's probably not as exciting as people would think, you know. But standing next to the heater, having those heaters is a lifesaver for sure.
Well, it's different for you than it is a guy that's down on the roster, that or even a second string quarterback. I mean, there's an aspect of like, yeah, I've got to stay ready, but you're going in.
Right.
So, and the rules do help you a little bit because there aren't guys jumping on top of you. So trying to stay as warm or keeping a balmy sweat on you probably isn't as important, which, by the way, maybe the reason that you're ranked higher in Madden than Blake is because you've actually been in a fight in an NFL football game.
loose term.
I remember that game and I was like, what in the world?
Not my proudest moment.
If I'm not mistaken, when you guys unwrestled yourselves, you had a big smile on your face. Did you not?
I blacked out there for a second.
you saw red just yeah. for a moment.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that? Like what happened in that moment? Should we move on?
I'm going to be real honest. I honestly don't remember a ton because we had to go right back out there and punt it again.
Gotcha.
So it's definitely a thing that happened. Yep.
That's funny. Awesome. I love it. So what's it like being the longest tenured player in the team? Do guys call you grandpa? Anything like that? That's a joke. You don't have to answer that one. But, do they tease you? Do they razz you? Do they come to you with questions? Hey, what was it like 6 years ago? And do you use that tenure that you have with this organization kind of like as part of your leadership? Like, I've been here.
First off, no, they don't call me grandpa because I'm still on the south side of 30.
Younger than Bond.
I'm far away age-wise from being anywhere near the top 10 on oldest guys on the team.
Right.
I just happen to have been here since before the current regime got here. But a lot of guys, I would say definitely in the past year and a half or so, definitely past 2 years, more guys have, I've noticed more guys ask me about how things operate here. You know, new guys, how things operate here. Hey, where should I go? I'm looking to do this in Buffalo. I need to do this. I need to, where should we go? How easy is it to get in and out of the airport?
Right.
How's the traffic on game day? All that kind of stuff that I've, like to think that I've got pretty good handle on, learning over the years. So
for sure.
And the weather too is an aspect of it. Hey, plus or minus a week out of Halloween is usually when the weather starts turning, the leaves start changing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I have noticed
more of an encyclopedia.
Sure. Like the long snapping almanac,
I like it. I don't mind that at all. That's actually a really good answer. So the Buffalo Bills have had some great starts, obviously, in your tenure. 2020, the Bills started out 4-0. Now, Monday Night Football this past week, the Eagles, who were 8-0, actually lost their first game to the Commanders, blemishing effectively their perfect record. And there was some pressure there, media around the media. And I guess the question that I have is it's hard. We know that it's hard. We hear it every week from Josh and we hear it from Coach that it's hard to win. It's hard enough to win in the NFL. Do you think that there's a pressure when you're in that, for the Eagles around that undefeated, when you get into that 8-9 game, or is it something that as you guys try to chirp or try to basically talk, it's one game at a time. We're not even paying attention. We're 1-0 every week. Or is there a pressure around that? Like we're getting up there 8-0, 9-0, Super Bowl 10-0, right?
Yep. I think a lot of the pressure, air quotes, I know this is audio only, the air quotes pressure, that a lot of people think comes with the expectations is put on by the outside media. Mm-hmm. Not a dig at all at what any of you guys are doing, because I think you guys do a fantastic job. But I think you are, I think more often than not, and especially in Buffalo, it's one game at a time. Mm-hmm. You're not looking ahead to anybody because you know it's any given Sunday.
Right, right.
And Monday Night Football, any given Monday.
Sure.
They just showed you last night, four and five or something like that. Yeah.
Three and five.
Washington, 3-5 or something. 8-0 playing at Philly. You know, you can understand it maybe. Division opponent if they were playing in Washington.
Right.
But you're going to Philly. You're 3-5 or whatever you are.
That crowd.
Nobody's expecting you to win. They got the top five defense in there. Their offense is rolling. I mean, they're undefeated for a reason. And and they slip up and they lose a game. And it's, you know, it's like you said, it's tough. Winning games is hard. And teams go through ebbs and flows throughout the season, and you got to fight through them. And we're going to get back on track, and we have full confidence in each other that we're going to do that. But I would say, I mean, it's a lot of the so-called like expectations and stuff is definitely, I feel like, brought on by outside in. Yep, for sure.
The only football question that I'm going to ask you, really related to the Buffalo Bills and potentially kind of where we're at right now, is this one, and it's not a super, super hard one. Coming off of two losses, tough losses for this football team, from your experience, is the locker room going to be a little different this week, or is it going to be back to who we are, what we do? We're not going to change. I've heard stories, so I guess I'd preface it this way, that before the Chiefs game, there were some things that kind of came out in the media, which don't necessarily mean they're true, that it was very businesslike. We've got the Chiefs. We're in Kansas City. Do you sense from what you've seen around this team that the locker room's going to be a little bit different this week?
No.
It's awesome.
No. Simple answer. I think we're all business every week. And I don't see that changing one bit. I had something in my head that I really wanted to say and I forgot it.
Was it about that? Was it about just preparation and kind of being locked in for the week?
It was, and I feel bad that I have forgotten it.
Was
it
about Instagram karaoke?
No, it was not, because that is actually pretty funny, and those guys are hilarious. I cannot remember what I was going to say. I will return to that if I remember.
Yes, if it comes back, yes, please do. So we've only got a couple more questions for you, and thank you for being a good sport. This is a lot.
No problem.
So we got to golf this summer, I think once or twice, and it was clear to me because, and there's a story behind it, because you and I kind of connected, and we were going to go golfing, and I was like, hey, I made a foursome, but the funny thing is when I made the foursome, I put it together just for you and me to go, because I didn't want you to necessarily have pressure, yada, yada, yada. And you're like, well, no problem. I'll see if the boys want to come. And I immediately got nervous. Like, I'm looking at my phone. And I was like, I can't. And I think I texted my dad. I was like, I think he means Matt Hawk and Tyler Bass. Like, I think that's who the boys are. But it was obvious when we were there on the course how tight you guys were. And I asked you guys a question, a question just kind of surrounding what was going on this summer, the potential of a new punter, things like that. And I said, you know, you guys are so close. You guys are like, it was obvious you guys were tight. And I was like, you know, what do you do? How do you go into the season that way? And you frankly said straight faced, like, we'll adjust. We've had to adjust before. We'll adjust again. But isn't it harder than that, though, knowing that like your buddy is moving out of state, like your high school buddy, like we're boys, and Matt, you're moving out of state, this really kind of sucks, right? Is it harder than just we're just going to adjust, or is it just something you got to roll with and you hit each other in text during the week after games and stuff? Like, talk to me about that relationship.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think the biggest thing is physically on the field is easier to adjust than the off the field stuff, because that friendship and that relationship that you grind, you know, you're grinding, you're working out, you're conditioning, you're golfing, you're doing pregame, you know, you're hanging out night before games, you're doing all this stuff. You're seeing, I mean, shoot, I see those guys as much, if not more, than my family.
Right.
During the season.
Right.
So it's you know, we you get close with those guys, and I've gotten an opportunity to be good friends and good buddies with a number of guys over my years so far. So yeah, it's you know, we will adjust on the field. Mm-hmm. I have gotten a ton of enjoyment getting to know Sam. He is a great guy. Mm-hmm. He has been an absolute pro coming in here week one, you mm-hmm. know, less than a week before the Rams game, and kind of, you know, it's almost like we took off on the right foot. I mean, he came in and almost didn't skip a beat. You know, Tyler had to work with him, you know, to get his, you know, comfortability with the holding and stuff down. But he's done a great job since he's came in here. And I think, you know, credit to him for, you know, 10-year vet mm-hmm. this year. That's it's not an easy thing to do to you know, I don't know personally, but from what I've heard, it's not easy to just swip swap on a team
right
a few days before the first game of the season. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, like I said, you build those friendships and you do all that stuff together, hanging out off the field. You're buying Christmas presents for each other. You're buying birthday presents for each yep. other, and you create a special bond. And then one day it's, you know, you guys don't share the same jersey anymore. And but yeah, I mean, we still talk during the week. I still keep up with a lot of the guys that I've played with. So you know, because the friendships are real. It's not just a vicinity friendship kind of right. thing. It's not just like, oh, we're friends because we hang out every day at football.
Right.
It's legitimate friendship and a care and love for those guys. So
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's we'll adjust, but it's definitely the off the field is different than the on the field stuff for sure.
The business part is hard, but the relationships are real, right?
Yep.
It comes down to, so.
And I remember what I was going to bring up
awesome.
About the last question.
Nice.
I was going to say it's business-like because I think we have, like, all three of our losses this season are by a combined
eight points.
So, I mean, you look at it on paper, we're in these games.
Yes, very much so.
So, you know, a couple plays, you know, people asked me about the Chiefs game last year in the playoffs. Couple plays go one way or the other. Coin toss goes one way or the other.
That's right.
Right? I mean, you get that far. People think there's this wide gap
mm-mm.
between the team who drafts 32nd and the team that drafts first. There's not.
Right. Right. Parity is king in the NFL.
I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this. I mean, there's a saying, you know, they get paid too.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Right.
It's absolutely so, right.
So, you know,
solid.
There's great players on every team.
That's a solid.
Couple plays one way or the other. And you're looking at a couple different results, and yeah. and it comes down to the process and putting yourself in the best position. And I'm a firm believer of that for yeah. sure.
That game on Sunday for you guys could have easily ended 44-27.
Sure,
right?
Sure. I
mean, just a couple small things go differently. Two more questions sure. for you.
Yep.
You and your brother Blake host a podcast called After the Snap. What was the inspiration behind you guys starting your podcast? And where can our listeners find you?
So the inspiration was, you know, it was April of 2021, it was March when we started talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have always been pretty big in the podcast game, listening to them mm-hmm. And being guests on occasional episodes of, you know, different football related mm-hmm. podcasts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I saw Blake and I both saw an opening sort of for active NFL players yep. sharing stories and sharing our reactions, on a weekly basis. And, the audience is there. It's there to be taken, mm-hmm. and we've enjoyed the heck out of doing our After the Snap podcast. So if you want to listen to us, we release an episode every week reviewing our past games and looking forward to the games ahead, and also talking about a little bit of the current sports world stories.
Love it.
You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the whole nine yards. So
awesome.
Greatly appreciate it.
Yep. After the snap. So last question. So I'm a girl dad. I've got two. You're a girl dad. Joe Marino was on the show. He's the host of Locked On Bills. He's a girl dad. And I asked him this question. So I'm going to ask you this question as well. So you're going to have to, you're going to have to bring it on this one a little bit. Right. So, okay. And it's a simple question. What for you is the best part about being a girl dad?
I have gained so much patience in my life. God willing. But I have also, that is a great question. I have learned to love on a different level than I ever thought was possible.
That's good.
I love my wife. I love my family, my brother, my mom, and my dad. Mm-hmm. But loving your daughter is different.
Different.
And clearly based on your reaction, you agree.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had Blakely when I was 27. I'm 28 now. You think when you're older than me, when you're my age, you think you have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
You always think you have it figured out. I thought I was ready to be a dad.
Mm.
I was in some sorts, I was prepared. I was mature enough, definitely mature enough to be a father, handle those responsibilities on all, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever it may be. I was prepared. But once she gets here, it's like it all changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so much pops up on an hourly basis,
mm-hmm.
that you can't prepare for.
Right.
And you just have to be there.
Right.
And that's been the greatest joy for me, is to appreciate those moments when they come just about every day. And you see her growing, and mm-hmm. you see her learning new things, and she's starting to talk, mm-hmm. and she's saying new things, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And you haven't even gotten to the stages of I'm big, bad NFL professional. Daddy, come put these barrettes in your beard and sit down on the floor and play dolls with me. You got it, baby.
Like, no problem.
Like,
happy to do it.
Let's do it. There's something that I feel that God knows what we need. And
yeah, 100%.
There's something about big. I said this to Marino last week. There's something about dominant alpha type dudes, and God gives us girls, and it completely changes everything about the way we emotionally process. Well, it should. There's obviously some not great humans out there, but for all intents and purposes, those of us that are good dads and have good hearts, like, it just opens us up. I remember, I'll leave the show with this. I remember when she was born, I'm very much pragmatic and very just kind of like a realist, and I'm not super emotional. When she was born, I was counting fingers and toes. My wife is in the bed crying. It's this big moment. I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And it probably took 6 weeks. And she was sitting, I don't remember what Beth was doing. She may have been taking a bath, but McKenna was 6 weeks old. She was sitting in my lap, and it was just me and her. And it was one of the first times we'd had a me and her moment. And she grabbed my finger and squeezed it. And I was like, oh, you got me. Like, that was the moment.
I hear you.
Oh, because it's different with a girl. It's just, it's just different.
Especially for, I think it's especially different for me. I don't know about you. I had a brother growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't have a sister.
Right.
So a lot of this stuff, I'm leaning on Erica to educate me on, what needs to be done in certain situations.
Right.
How girls respond differently than boys. all this kind of stuff. That, you know, she grew up, you know, the middle of two other sisters.
Right,
so,
right.
She's obviously familiar with it herself, but, yeah, it's been a rewarding journey so far.
It's awesome. Reed, you have been a good sport. Thank you so much for this.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. This was great.
This is a lot of fun. I'm excited for you. I'm excited, obviously, for your family, for this opportunity to win an award, clearly the rest of the season, but I'm just thankful also to, at this point, call you my friend. So I appreciate you. So thanks for doing
this. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into the Rapid Fire Friday episode of the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. I'm the voice of this year's show. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. You can find that guy on Twitter at
Snapflow69.
Like we always say here on every program I do, we leave it with this, which is go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me. Like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh. Or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life. And even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T. Period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to have your high five moment with High Five Casino, the top social casino where the action and real prizes never stop. Fun spins and big wins are right at your fingertips with over 1,000 games, including High Five Casino exclusives. High Five Casino is always free to play with free coins given out every 4 hours. Sign up today for a free welcome offer that can get you spinning and winning right away. Visit highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.